Our God, the great I am. He always has been, he always will be. We stand in awe of him, as well we should. This past weekend, of course, our community was hit with a devastating tornado. And I'm thankful that I'm healthy enough that I was able to get out this week and to help with some of the cleanup, run a chainsaw and clean things up. And got to the first place I went Monday morning, hadn't been there any time at all, and a thought occurred to me. Here's a house that somebody built some time ago, probably back in the 70s, I would guess. Built it with love, lived there, raised a family, a lot of fond memories. House, that particular house is okay. Some of the peripherals were tore up on it and so forth, but big trees and stuff were down. But the neighborhood was devastated. Some houses completely destroyed. I couldn't help but think how that God created the universe for the purpose of creating mankind. For the purpose, as he said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, that we should revere him and keep his commandments. That we should be in a relationship with him. I couldn't help but think that that tornado was a good bit like what happened in the Garden of Eden. In just 10 seconds, listen to an interview of one fellow whose house was hit, and he's describing how that the tornado, he says, you could hear it coming, and you could hear it go, and you heard what it was doing while it was here, but the whole thing didn't happen, didn't take any more than 10 seconds. In 10 seconds, everything that a person had hoped for and built and maintained was destroyed. And in the Garden of Eden, in a relatively short period of time, very short period of time, what God intended was destroyed by sin, devastated by sin. I'd like to explore some of that with you. We've looked at this lesson before, but it's been some time, and it's one of my favorites, that we recognize that God's intention is that we should be in a relationship with him. And we begin to see this even in creation, that in creation we see that God created everything, and that to conclude that with the creation of each thing, he saw that it was good, and in the culmination of all of his creation, he saw that it was very good. Part of that very good was the fact that man was like God in the sense that Adam and Eve were in this relationship with God. You know, to be in a relationship with someone, you've got to have your core values. They have to be the same. And you think about God, the great I am. And what he reveals to us about him is that he is holy. Throughout his word, he has spoke to his people. And we find one incident of this in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 15 and 16. Where Peter says, as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. For us to be in a relationship with God, we must be as he is. We must be holy as he is holy. And Adam and Eve were. They were separated from sin. They were innocent. God is pure. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. God is pure. And Adam and Eve were pure and sinless in the Garden of Eden. God is love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 16 says, "We have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." 1 John 5 and verse 3 says, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." Passage we oftentimes quote, and Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments." What happens when we keep his commandments? We'll be purified. We'll be holy. We'll be in a relationship with him. Adam and Eve were in this relationship because of their love for God. You remember when Satan came to Eve and he deceived Satan and says, "Yeah, God has said you can't eat of all the trees that are in this garden, hadn't he?" To which she responded, "We can eat of all the trees in the garden except for one, the tree that's in the middle of the garden. Because God has said that when we eat of that tree, we will surely die." And what's inferred in all of that is that we don't want to die. And God doesn't want us to die. And so we don't want to eat of that tree. It was a commandment of God. "Do not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For in the day you eat of it, you will certainly die." Now you read the record and I read the record and we say, well, they didn't die. Physically they didn't die, but spiritually they did die. And that's what I want us to appreciate this morning. Do you recognize what Eve was doing when she responded to Satan with those words? She was loving God. She was stating her love for God. She was keeping his commandment. The reason we don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil is because we love God and we want to keep his commandments. We demonstrate our love for God by keeping his commandments. But he continued with his temptation and deceived Eve into thinking that she was something less than what she thought she was. Satan said, "In the day you eat of that tree, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." She didn't appreciate the fact that she was already like God. She was holy. She was pure. She was standing against the attack of Satan in her statement of love for God by keeping his commandments. She had a very good concept of what evil was. Eating of that tree was evil, was sinful. Nevertheless, she ate of it and she gave to her husband and he did eat also. And sin entered into the world. And Adam and Eve were taken out of the Garden of Eden. Out of that relationship with God. They and all humanity, because of their actions, were separated from a relationship with God. Romans 5 and verse 12 explains, "By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men." Why do we die? We die because we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. We don't have access. Another tree in the Garden of Eden was the tree of life. If you ate of that tree, you would just continue to live. We don't have access to that tree anymore. We're not in the Garden of Eden. Without access to that tree, we're going to die physically. But because of our sin, spiritually, we are separated from God. You realize that the word death implies a separation. That when we die physically, our spirit is separated from our physical body. But when we die spiritually, our spirit is separated from God. And that's, as well as physical death, has passed upon all men because all men have sinned. As he goes on to say here in Romans 5 and verse 12. Being separated from this relationship with God, we were made subject to tribulation. Genesis 3, verses 16 through 18, you remember that he said to Eve that she would, in pain, bear children. And so that has passed upon all women. She was, as a result of her sin and a consequence to women from all time therefrom, are subject to the oversight of their husbands. Paul would explain this to Timothy. The reason for that was because of her deception, that she allowed herself to be deceived. Adam was not deceived. Adam knew full well when he ate of that fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil that he was going to be separated from God. You might say, well, why would you do that? Well, put yourself in Adam's place and the temptation that he particularly faced. He knew what it was like to be alone. He knew what it was like to be without human companionship. And he knew that Eve was going to be separated from God and that she was going to be separated from him. I think that had a lot to do with why he ate of that fruit. I think that has a lot to do, that principle has a lot to do with why we sin sometimes. Because we'd rather be in a relationship with someone who is sinning than be in a relationship with he who is holy and pure and love. We don't trust God enough. That he will send us the relationship that we want and crave here on earth. Adam, of course, he said, of the sweat of your brow, you will till the earth. And so we work today. Maybe we don't like to work, but we work. And actually, when you work, you find that you have a sense of accomplishment, and it's good, and you have a good feeling about yourself. But nevertheless, it's labor. But we're subjected to all kinds of tribulations. Why do we have tornadoes? Why do we have hurricanes? Why do we have all of the devastation that we have? Why do we have sickness, pandemics? Why do we have all of these things? Because we're not in the Garden of Eden anymore. The earth brought forth thorns and thistles and all means and manner of tribulation. And man has to deal with those things because of sin. In the meantime, we see that God gave man religion. And it begins in Genesis chapter 4 with the story of Cain and Abel. They brought their sacrifices to God, and Abel's sacrifice was well-pleasing to God, whereas Cain's was not. Cain was angry that God didn't receive his sacrifice. Book of Hebrews tells us that the reason God didn't receive, or the reason God received Abel's sacrifice, was because it was by faith. Faith, Romans 10 and verse 17, tells us that comes by hearing the word of God. So if Abel's sacrifice was by faith, then he offered to God what God had specified he wanted in sacrifice. We know that Abel offered an animal sacrifice. A lamb without spot, very best. Cain offered the vegetables of the of his tilling of the ground. He was a farmer. Maybe Cain thought, you know, it's fine for Abel to offer an animal sacrifice. That's what he does. He's a herdsman. It's a real sacrifice for him. But he says, I don't care about those animals. I mean, I could buy an animal for my brother and offer that in sacrifice to God, but I really don't care about animals. I don't know what he was thinking, but he could have been thinking that. But what he does care about and what he worked with and what he had to get the weeds out of and labor in every day and see that it was watered the best that he could and all that was his crops. So perhaps he thought, I'm going to offer the best of my crops in sacrifice to God. Sounds kind of logical, doesn't it? Might even be sincere. I don't know. But it wasn't what God specified. It wasn't what God required in sacrifice. We now know that the reason for it, we'll see it here as we go through this lesson. It's necessary that it be an animal sacrifice. Because these sacrifices that God required, even all the way back to Cain and Abel, were a type of the sacrifice that would be offered on our behalf, on that behalf of all mankind. And fruits and vegetables just don't get it. But religion, we might say, was given to mankind to keep mankind tied to God. As mankind throughout the patriarchal period and later throughout with Israel and the Mosaic Law and so forth, it tied man to God, but they were not in the relationship that had been established and built in the Garden of Eden. Hebrews chapter 10 and the first four verses gives us some insight into this. It says, the law, meaning the Mosaic law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to have been offered? If you could be saved by an animal sacrifice, we'll just stop right there. We'll just keep offering animal sacrifices. That's the point that he's making. Because that the worshipers once purged should have no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance, again, made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. An animal sacrifice was required. A blood sacrifice was required. A death sacrifice was required. But those sacrifices did not take away sins. They reminded mankind of their sin. Those sacrifices were a type of the sacrifice that God intended to restore our relationship with Him. And so we see in Hebrews 10 and verse 5, it says, therefore, when He came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. The body of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed was the antitype of those animal sacrifices. It's what they pointed to. It was the death that paid the price for our sins. Romans tells us that the wages of sin is death. Somebody has to pay the price for your sins. And you can pay the price yourself. But it means that you will be separated from God in this life, and you will be separated from God in all eternity. To experience torment, the scriptures describe to us. A place of outer darkness. A place where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. a place where there is no hope, no peace, no comfort. You can pay the price yourself, but you don't want to. Or you can allow Jesus to pay the price for your sin in his death. Hebrews 10 and verse 10 says, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. It's not a sacrifice that's offered year by year. It's a sacrifice that's once offered once for all people, all the way back to the Garden of Eden and all the way forward to the second coming of Christ. His death can pay the price for the sins of all. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, as people were told and convinced that Jesus of Nazareth, who they crucified, was both Lord and Christ, obeyed the gospel of Christ and were baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2 and verse 47 says, the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. The word church here is actually accurately translated saved. The Lord added to the saved those who were being saved. The saved are referred to as children of God. 1 John chapter 3 in the first three verses says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. We who sinned against God. We who turned our backs upon God. Look at the love of God that it's now possible for us to be called the sons of God, the children of God. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. And we shall see him as he is. And every man who has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. See the relationship? There's a relationship that's reestablished between God and the saved. They are sons of God, children of God. They are purifying themselves as he is pure. They enter into that relationship. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 gives us insight into this. He says, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame. That's pure. Before him in love. God is holy. He is without blame. He is pure. He is love. And God has chosen us in him, in Christ, that we should be holy and pure and love. But we're not there. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We have sinned and separated ourselves from a relationship with God. How do we go from our sin into this relationship which God intends for us with him, to be like him and to live for him? Well, Jesus said that we must believe in him. John 8 and verse 24, he said, if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sin. You are separated from me in your sin. You will remain separated from me throughout eternity if you do not believe, if you do not trust me, if you do not obey me. You will die in your sins. But if we believe, and we believe that his death pays the price for our sins, and we believe that he loves us and we want to obey him, we want to be holy, we want to be pure, we want to be others focused as God is others focused in love, then we will turn to him. We will turn from our sin to his righteousness. Jesus said in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, he says, I tell you, unless you repent, you will perish. That's an interesting incident right there, isn't it, in Luke chapter 13. Some people have been killed by a natural disaster. And they came asking Jesus, saying, was it because these were worse sinners than others that these people suffered this natural disaster? And Jesus said, I tell you, no. Nope, that's not it. They were just in the wrong place at the wrong time. God didn't bring the natural disaster. Look at the book of Job. Look at the story of Job. God didn't bring the disasters upon Job. It was Satan who brought those things to test Job, to destroy Job. But Job did not recant his faith in God. Point here is, however, that if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but you will not repent, you will not turn from your sin to practice his righteousness, to live to his glory, you will perish. Say, well, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. James said about, you believe there's one God? That's good. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils believe in God. The demons believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The demons believe that salvation is in Christ. But they do not serve him. Do they not? They do not honor him. They will not turn to him. And if we just acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, our faith is no better than that of a demon. Jesus said we must confess him before men. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, he said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And here Jesus was not just talking about a one-time confession, although that's certainly included in this, but a lifelong profession of your faith in Christ, that you're living for him, that Christ will confess us before Almighty God, the great I am. You ever just stop to consider that? And Jesus said, we must be baptized. Mark 16 and verse 16, he told the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. What do we have here? Why did Jesus die? To build his church, to build the body of the saved. And when we believe and repent and confess and are baptized for the remission of our sins, we come into that relationship with him. We come into Christ. Galatians 3, verses 26 and 27. He says, you are all the children of God. Relationship. You are all the children of God. How? By faith. In Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. How do you get into that relationship? Well, you're born into it. Jesus said you have to be born again. You have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. We are baptized in water in obedience to the command of Jesus Christ to have our sins washed away. Ananias said to Saul, Paul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Relationship lost in the Garden of Eden in a very, very, very short period of time. It took God 4,000 years to rebuild that possibility of a genuine relationship with Him, where we could be holy and pure and love, that we could be dead to our sins instead of dead to God, and alive in Christ Jesus, saved, relationship restored. Behold the love of God, that we should be called the children of God. With access to every spiritual blessing that's in Christ. With absolutely no reason to fear the tribulation that is still in the world. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Fear causes torment. We're afraid of what's going to happen to us. But love is others focused, with the primary other being God. Doesn't matter what we have to sacrifice to glorify God by keeping His commandments. We will do it to His praise and to His glory. We're not saved just for ourselves. We're saved to glorify God primarily. We are saved and blessed so that we might be a blessing to others. Think about that. If you're a child of God, recognize the great blessings that you have in Christ and use them to bring others into this relationship as well. But if you're here this morning and you recognize that you're separated from God, will you let Jesus pay the price for your sin in His death? Confess Him before men and be baptized for the remission of your sins and walk in newness of life with Him. If you're here today and you are a child of God, you realize that you're out of favor with Him because of sins that you have practiced. James tells us to confess our sins to one another, pray for one another, that you might be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation this morning, you're ready for this relationship with Christ. You're ready to be purified and holy and live for God. Please let it be known as we stand and sing this song.